Welcome to Boundless Love Podcast. Here, it's all about next level approach to love, relationships, and sex. I'm your host, Sophia Sundari. Beautiful humans, here we are again. This is episode 8 of Boundless Love Podcast and the Ask Sophia series, another episode in this series. And I'm so happy I started these episodes because the quality of questions I'm getting is just next level. And I'm so happy to be able to just take all those questions that I receive from you and address them in one place. And also sometimes you'll be surprised because you will see that I already recorded an episode on exactly the question you're asking me. And so then your answer will come there. And other questions I will take here because they are brilliant and it's so beautiful, and I really honor your vulnerability to ask those questions and to be daring enough to expose yourself in this way. So the first question I'll address is coming from Lily. She says, I'm a 22-year-old woman who is just entering the world of Tantra to heal sexual trauma. All I want is to forgive and to let go of bitterness in my heart. Your work has been very grounding for me during this process. I have a question that I hope you can address in your podcast. I recently learned that a man who violated me both physically and spiritually recently became certified to become a tantric practitioner. I'm not surprised that the universe is challenging me with this information just as I am beginning my own tantric journey. The bitterness in my heart is rising higher than it has in a long time, and I don't know what to do with my emotions. On the other hand, I am hopeful that he is doing the work to heal his own sexual trauma and take accountability for his past actions. On the other hand, he has never apologized and has a history of abusing younger women through pseudo-spiritual gaslighting. His very existence triggers a deep ancient sense of being abandoned within me. This pain existed long before I even met him. I know that the sacred light has always attracted a terrible darkness, but I feel violated all over again to know that this man is out in the world potentially using Tantra to feed his toxic guru complex. It doesn't help that he is beautiful and charming. My heart hurts. Your advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for all that you share with the world. Lily. Wow, this is a really important subject, and I really, I love speaking about this, and it's important to speak about this because it is not the first time this happens, and unfortunately not the last one. I see that generally in the field there's less, it's rather there's a tendency for less of such situations, but still they come up, and it's really important to address this. So thank you so much for bringing this. And it's a very complex situation. But first and foremost, what happens here is that, and this big piece about like this person who has this history of abusing people goes into the world of Tantra, sacred sexuality, where the world where the sexuality is seen as pure, as sacred, and he becomes a tantric practitioner, and yet he doesn't reach out to apologize to this woman that he violated. So, yeah, what's going on here is that on one hand, as you say, that in order to become a practitioner, a tantric practitioner, he needs to do his own work. There's no other way. Of course, there are different people and they call different things Tantra and, you know, there's a whole other conversation that can be had about this. But really, the spirit of Tantra is such that it will come back to him and he will have to take ownership and responsibility for all the things he has created in his life and all the pain he has created. Now, it becomes very dangerous when people learn those really high principles and discover themselves as conduits for power, for divine power, and they learn tools and techniques. And then if the ego is unhealed, if the wounds of personality haven't been acknowledged, then unfortunately this power can be often misused. It also comes from inability to have a real worth of ourselves. Like when we feel unworthy, then we don't understand how deeply we impact people. So people never really want to hurt others. Yeah.
No one ever acts from a place of like, okay, let me misuse my power, let me hurt this person. If so, it's like there's like a psychosis probably going on. It's a much more severe issue there. But genuinely, people don't want to hurt other people. And the only reason why they do is from their own pain and from their own wounds and really not having acknowledged those wounds. So when someone embarks on a transformational journey, it's not possible not to see those things eventually, sooner or later. Because sooner or later, we have to wake up. Sooner or later, we will see that there are patterns, that there are situations that are repeating themselves over and over again. So if those situations repeat themselves over and over again, that the person is not waking up and not putting one and one together, then like something will come and a big slap will happen, a big slap on the face. Yeah, like a boomerang returns to the sender. So a big slap on the face will happen and this person will have to take responsibility for everything, for everything, because until he does not, he will not be free. So that's a big conversation that I always have with my students and that we all need to have again and again, the conversation about the power. What do we do when we have access to great power? And if there is a lack of self-worth, unfortunately, people will have a tendency to use this power to boost their ego, to bring a bit more self-worth to themselves because they're like, oh, look, what can I do? Look, how can I open this person? Oh, look how intelligent I am. Oh, look how much I know. When we do this, we lost the point. The real power can only come from the heart. And the heart is that part of us that knows that the greatest power is not ours and there's nothing to take personally and that we have to take responsibility. If someone opens in front of us, we have to take responsibility for their opening. And, you know, it's just like this kind of spiritual, this bypassing thing, what is called spiritual bypassing. Like there will be this, oh, well, it is your life. It is your responsibility. You need to be responsible for how you respond to life, who you allow in your field. But then look, if there is a young woman, you're saying you're a 22-year-old, but it doesn't even matter what's your age. But if there is a woman that is opening beyond her natural state, beyond her normal state, then the one who opens or the one who facilitates this opening has to take responsibility and has to be so careful and so gentle and be checking in and explaining everything and creating so much safety. That's really when the heart awakens, then this becomes natural. So, you know, you need to trust that he will find, like, truth will find him. Yeah, he will find his way to truth and truth will find him. And your role here also can be twofold. Yeah, you can decide what you do. You already see that he triggers your abandonment wound, something that existed long before him. So, yeah, you can hold this, and it's important that you hold yourself in this and let yourself process this and let yourself really be with that abandonment and go to the source of it, because your reaction that you say you feel so bitter and so there's so much intensity in you, on one hand it can be this like activation and it's just a beautiful response to feel those things, but if it lingers, if it really stays with you for a long time, it means there's deeper. You need to feel deeper into what is going on for you and what it triggers in you and heal that. Yeah, you need to heal that because for you also, this is an opportunity to heal. For you, it's also a pointer to what is not healed in you. So that's one response. And the other response also, if you are ready for that, there's also a way to respond from your inner priestess, what I call, from that part of you that is here in service to truth. And from that part of you, you will reach out to this person and you will tell them, okay, I want to have a conversation. Are you ready for that? Are you available? And they will tell you, yes, I'm ready, or no, let's talk later. Yeah, let's set up a date and a time. When can we talk? And when you talk from your heart. You talk not to blame, not to accuse, not to shame, but you speak about your experience because chances are he is not even aware of what happened to you. So it is from the place of inner priestess that we can do such gestures, when we can do a gesture of showing up for truth. And we are not necessarily doing it for this person, although it will touch them and it will also shake them. Even maybe at first they will go like, no, it's not true, it's all your stuff. Don't believe that. If you say it, you put a seed, you planted a seed, and they will have their interpretation and their thing, but still, it is there. It is something for them to receive. But most importantly, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself as your way to serve truth, to serve love, to serve the divine. And again, it matters how you do that. If you just reach out and say, hey, you've been doing this thing, you did this to me, this is what happened, you're so irresponsible, you're so abusive. Like, no, this is not what's gonna reach. Yeah? But after healing your own wounds, then with your raw open heart, you can reach out and say, this is what happened, this is what I experienced. I don't know what you're going to do with this information, but this is what happened to me. And I want you to know this. And bless your path. And I'd love to see you heal. And I'd love to see you become empowered and really shine as a truth of who you truly are deep within you. But these are the things that I need you to see. So if you have that courage in you, and if you are ready for that, that would be a beautiful gesture. If not, it's also okay. If not, it's totally fine. You need to feel safe on the inside, and then you can do things like that. So prioritize your healing, prioritize your safety right now, and trust that even if it's not you who does it, that it will come. But we need that. Yeah, we need, women are the guardians of love. And if we don't educate people around us about what love is and what does it mean to hold each other in love, then no wonder no one knows that. So it's a powerful situation and it's a powerful process here. So thank you for bringing this, and I hope this gives you a guidance. Okay, let's see. What else do we have? A question from Garima. Is there a practical way to differentiate between ego and self-respect? It seems like intense emotional pain and relating can be caused if either of them gets hurt, and I am unable to see which one it is. Well, the interesting thing is that the ego is not the bad guy. Like we tend to think, or the bad girl, we tend to think that ego, like in the spiritual community, yeah, that ego is the bad person. But actually self-respect is going to be towards the ego. So let me explain this a little more. Because ego is your personal self. And who can respect herself is your personal self. Yeah, your identity. So it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, the ego is, your self-respect is around the ego. But it's not bad to have self-respect. And it's not bad to have an ego either. So what may be the confusion is where we kind of tend to indulge into, well, let's say it's a situation in relating and you want your relationship to be a certain way and you want to be treated in a certain way and you want to be approached in a certain way and you want to have a commitment from your partner if they engage with you. You want to know that they are available to be with you in pain and in expansion. Yeah, so this is like an action of self-respect for your personality. Yeah, for your needs of your personality, for your boundaries. There's nothing wrong with that. It's really important to have that. It's part of us choosing to incarnate into this world, into this body, that it came together with a package of having a personality. And we need to figure out how to be with this personality so it really shows up at its highest potential. Yeah, and having those gestures of self-respect and choosing which situations are correct for you and which not. This is a journey of incarnating here, of owning the purpose of your incarnation. Now, what can also happen is that we can see that the hurting ego, yeah, the painful ego, the wounded ego, is where we make those requests and we create a certain demands on people around us and also on ourselves from a place of pain and from a place of fear. Yeah, for example, in a relationship, it can be that you need your partner to behave a certain way. So, for example, in a context of relationship, maybe you get so jealous when your partner is talking to other women and it really, really hurts you. And then you may say like, wow, I really don't like that you're talking to her. Please stop talking. This is really painful for me. I need you to just be only with me the whole time. And so this may be like, wow, what's the big deal? Yeah, he's talking to another woman. But there may be different things here. Yeah, there may be on one hand, it could be that it is coming from your pain. Maybe you were betrayed in the past and then you feel like, wow, this reminds me of that and I'm so scared of that. And yeah, so here you're coming from this wounded ego place. And then is it still a reason to neglect it? I don't think so. Contrary to popular belief in spiritual communities, I don't believe so. I believe that you need to come to such a place of safety within yourself, and if there is a person who choosing to relate to you, then with them also, that you come to that safety, and then naturally, and there may be requests. Yeah, there may be requests like, yeah, I see you're talking to this person and you're flirting a little bit. And this is really uncomfortable for me. And my boundary is that I don't want flirting outside of our couple. Yeah, I know you a little bit, so I don't think that specifically would be your case, but that could highlight something there. Yeah? And then like when you feel that safety, then you will feel like naturally, like, oh, okay, actually, I don't need this boundary anymore. We can expand a little bit and you can also talk to others and it's okay, even if there's maybe a tiny bit of flirting or something like this. So even the wounded ego is precious. Yeah, it is still your personality. It is still part of who you are and no part of you is ugly. Unless you choose to hold it as ugly and then you choose to hate it and want it to be different. And kind of like recently in a training, one of my participants said it's like an inner whipper. Yeah, the one who is like, no, I want to be different. No, I need to be already beyond this. I've already done so much work. I need to be better than that. Yeah, this is the dangerous one. Yeah, it's this inner critic. And it's a dangerous one because it's just bashing and punishing yourself and shaming yourself. And that only creates suffering inside. So doesn't even matter what exactly gets hurt inside of you, but something gets hurt inside and you have to trust it. And then you have to operate from a place of trusting yourself, of loving yourself and setting up boundaries in a way that is correct and knowing that even some of those boundaries will come from a place of pain and fear, and that's okay as well. Okay, next question from a man. He says, Dear Sophia, how can a man occupy and own his cock? That's a great question. And he uses those words that I use also when I speak to men, that I have a big invitation for all men to occupy and own your beautiful penises, your lingams, your cocks. And how this looks is that you come into a really loving relationship with your penis. So you stop just using him for pleasure. And when you touch him, it's just in a rough way or in a way that you're not really considerate in how you touch your cock. So my invitation for men is to start to sensitize your cock and your nervous system by giving yourself really gentle touch. So sometimes just spending some time just holding your genitals, just holding with love, with kindness in your hands, touching and maybe stroking, but just a little bit, not with an intention to become erect even. Yeah, you may be completely soft. It's totally fine. But you hold your cock and you really direct all your awareness into your cock. You can visualize that you're breathing into your cock. So this is what will initiate this journey of owning and occupying your cock. And then I have a whole program for men called Activated Men online course, where there are specific tools where men learn to touch, massage, activate their penises in a beautiful way that returns those penises to what they have always been. Beautiful expression of your masculinity, the beginning of your masculinity, of this incarnation into this masculine form. So that's how you start this ownership, this true ownership and true love for your cock. This is what I wish actually for all men, that you really start to love your cock and you will change. Your whole identity as a man will change after that. Okay, another question from a man. How do you feel about daily masturbation? Is it something that can affect my ability to have a healthy sex life with my future partner? It's so hard to know what to believe. Well, there are different forms of masturbation. Yeah, there is a form of masturbation where you really, you're watching porn and you're stimulating yourself really intensely, and that also creates a desensitization. And that's not how I recommend it. First of all, I don't recommend watching pornography for anybody, especially if there is an addiction to it. So if there's really this pull to watch pornography constantly or really regularly, really frequently. So this is really unhealthy for your whole system. It's really unhealthy for your brain. It's really unhealthy for all, for your performance in a sexual sense. It's not healthy for your confidence. It's just really not healthy. Another thing that's not healthy is this rough stimulation of the genitals. Another thing that's not healthy is to go into fantasy when you're masturbating. So this is normally how most men masturbate. And all of those things are pretty unhealthy. And they are kind of disconnecting you and desensitizing you instead of creating a deeper connection and opening. Where, in fact, you could masturbate in a way that creates an opening and that creates a sensitization that really opens your heart and really nurtures you. Yes, yes. And after that, you don't even feel depleted and you don't even feel like you're kind of this energetic drop that happens. Because also another thing that most men do when they masturbate is that they ejaculate in the end of this. Yeah, that could be a goal of masturbation, that kind of stimulate yourself and then ejaculate and then you kind of feel a relief. So what I'm going to say, if it's new to you, this will maybe be even shocking. But also in my work, I invite men to become conscious of their ejaculation and come to this place of mastery of their ejaculation. And what that means is that most of the times you don't ejaculate, but instead you keep that energy internalized and you spread that energy through your body. So practically how this looks like, and you can go ahead and watch my video about ejaculation mastery. You can just find it on YouTube to go deeper into this. But about masturbation, you can reframe it as self-pleasure session. You can reframe it and touch yourself in a way that includes your whole body, not only your genitals, and that really spreads pleasure through your whole body, and you allow yourself to feel pleasure from your whole body. This is beautiful. This is very healthy. And also you train yourself to feel more pleasure without the need to ejaculate. This is wonderful preparation for your future partner. It will make you an exceptional lover because you will know yourself better and you will know how to hold high voltage pleasure for prolonged times. For this, I also have an online course, by the way. It's called Pleasure is Prayer. So this I fully recommend, but it might take some rewiring. It might take some time to go into that direction and not be reliant on fantasy or pornography or intense stimulation and ejaculation. Okay, let's see. Another question from Carolina. I just met a man who is 8 years younger than me, and I'm just shocked how much sure he is compared to some other older men that I met, and I feel attracted to him, and I feel sadness when I'm thinking about the age. We really have just freshly met each other. Thank you for sharing. I understand the confusion here, and I understand that there may be a lot of constructs here. We have those constructs about like maturity, that with age you mature. And the only thing I can say is that, yeah, like around the age of 28, that's when there is a big shift that happens in people's life, that quite likely they are to change their direction in life because it's a Saturn return. It's a strong astrological event in lives of people. But if they are over 28, then, yeah, it doesn't really matter that much. I know so many people in their 50s who are completely immature. So, and I know so many people in their 20s who just blow me away, who just with their purity, with the intelligence of their soul and the connection that they have to their soul, like, that's beautiful. And that's how I used to be always in my life, that I was always the youngest in different communities, but really wise, really knowing things from my core, even things I never learned. But somehow with the purity, we get access to our soul. And that's what makes it amazing to be with such people. Not their age. So don't worry about this. This is really doesn't worth your time and contemplation. It says nothing. It means nothing. I know amazing couples who have 20 years difference between them. Sometimes women are older, sometimes men are older. It doesn't say much. Just this 28 years old, I find this has been quite important. I know also from my own life that when I turned 28, I had to change everything, even though I was already on the spiritual path. Yeah, but besides that, really not much to be worried or concerned about. Okay. Every blog I went through and read with my full heart and emotions, it's quite calming to think. Your blogs are so hard touching and sensitive, which shaped my thinking too. While reading, a question came to my mind, if you don't mind. I'm curious to know, you said that a woman can deeply surrender into her softness and slowness, become heavy yet vibrantly alive and receptive like the earth, which I feel is completely true. But I wanted to know how a man can deeply surrender. Question from Mega. Well, a man surrenders the exact same way. You know, in my writings and my talks, I speak to men, to women, but really mostly I'm speaking to masculine and feminine energy. And just like women can have very strong masculine, so do men can have a very strong feminine. And we all need all of them. I have an episode about this and more to come for sure about masculine and feminine energy. So please go ahead and listen to that if you haven't yet. And the thing is that for a man to surrender, he needs to connect to his feminine. Or, in other words, if he doesn't like to hear it like this, and if he identifies feminine energy with being a woman, then for a man really needs to open his heart and soften his heart, because surrender is only possible through the heart, through softness of the heart, through this choice of the heart to melt. So basically, that's how he surrenders. He lets go of the doing. He lets go into the being. He offers himself as an offering to the universe, if it's in a sexual context with a woman, to the universe expressed as this woman in this moment. And that's it. He opens up. There are various contexts in which a man can surrender. It can be in spiritual practice and meditation, sexuality, but it is always happens through the softening and opening of the heart. Another question. I wonder about the meaning of quickies and spontaneous sex at risky places in this context. It can be exciting and thrilling as well. Probably not as wholesome ideas. Well, of course, all types of sex have its place. You know, just it has to be with consent. It has to be at the right time and the right mindset. So really, everything has its place. Even wild, intense sex with very intense dominance has a place. Although maybe it has a bad reputation, but actually sometimes that's exactly what we need. But the key here is consent. So if your partner is also totally up for a quickie and spontaneous sex in a risky place, why not? enjoy, have fun, and it can bring a lot of juiciness to the relationship, and there is space for for a quickie for sure as well. You just need to know the context of why you're doing this. It can be a context of just activating yourself, creating this fun energy, this juicy, fiery energy, and that's totally valid, and we need that too, and just be playful and have fun. Of course, it's not going to create the soul merging experience, most likely, because for this really profound, deep intimacy and that goes beyond your body and takes you into this profound expansion, the level of your soul, and then, here we need longer sessions and deeper sessions with a lot of presence and, in a different way, in slowness. But everything has its place. Okay, another question about a penis. This is great. Lots of penis questions today. Sophia, my dick cannot get hard if I want to have sex with my wife, but can get hard when I masturbate or with another female. Any explanation, please? Well, here the point is that I certainly don't encourage stimulating yourself and going into fantasy about another female or watching, I don't know what exactly you mean here, or looking at another woman to escape the pain of what is going on wrong with your wife. Yeah, because that's what is happening here. Something is going on between you and your wife. There is some emotional problem. There is some issue that has not been addressed, and maybe for a long time, maybe for years. So in order to create a sexual flow between you, you need to address those issues. And then you will see that it's natural to want to engage. Now, another thing that can be at play is that there may be so much love between you and your woman that your penis just softens, your heart softens, and hence your penis softens, and then it's just you get incredibly emotional when you're with her, but maybe you're not allowing those emotions to flow, and then this can happen, that your penis gets soft. Another thing is that probably she is not open also, because we are responding to each other in terms of how a woman opens into her feminine and how a man shows up in his masculine. It's connected. Yeah. So if she is not fully open, then it's also quite logical that you also don't get erect because she is not welcoming it. Yeah, and there may be such a profound connection between you two that it's just like your body knows that you should not respond to that in this way. So coming back to the very first point, that something needs to be talked about. You need to sit with your wife and have a conversation. And have a conversation where you both really listen to each other and really hear each other, not blaming each other, not attacking each other, but just sharing what's going on between you two, what's been on your heart, what's been on your mind, what's been in your thoughts. And you share openly and you let your partner share openly, and you may see that this will immediately boost your libido and your desire for each other and your presence with each other. And your presence with each other is the highest aphrodisiac. Presence with each other means being really connected, being really available for each other, being transparent with each other, sharing with each other openly everything that's going on, and offering each other your undivided presence. This will be a profound shift in your sex life if that's what you truly want. Okay, another question from Cat in the Dark. What would you say to someone who had a tearing during vaginal birth that can no longer have sex without excruciating pain? Would I be a candidate for healing if I have damage that lasted going on 2 years postpartum? Yes, of course you can heal. And what is important here is to massage the scar tissue, is to really bring a lot of love to those places of tearing and not just avoid it and avoid the pain, but really bring presence, bring touch. Massage with the yoni wand, massage with your fingers, with a lot of oil, with a lot of love, with a lot of love for the body. So love heals everything, really. And first of all, we need to bring that love to our bodies. So when you bring love, this pain will slowly start to dissipate. It may happen quite quickly, actually. I've seen some cases where as soon as the body awareness is increased, then immediately there is increased blood flow, and this is what heals those things. Then how to go into sex with this is that you need to go into very, very slow sex. If you choose to meet your partner in this way, then do it very slowly. So even as he is entering you, he can hold space for you as you are opening. Yeah, when you feel the pain, instead of closing and contracting, try to breathe into it and open through the pain. And your partner, if he is really that connected to you and loving, then you can create incredible magic together. But also by yourself. Yeah, it's also really important to do this work on massaging, on opening by yourself. Okay, another question from Sensuai. You say to get professional help on sexual trauma. What if a person feels and reacts or acts as if they had a sexual trauma, but they don't know as far as they know? Do you recommend professional help as well? Yeah, that's the thing with sexual trauma, that many people don't know that they have it, but they have all the symptoms of it. So what can be the case here? Several things. Well, two main things, actually. One thing is that it was so intense and you were, or this person was in such a strong shock. It was such a shock. And it happened at an age, maybe until 5 or 7 years old, where sometimes just like the brain just shuts out and you really don't remember what happened. You don't remember the event at all. So it's like it just happens so unexpectedly, so shockingly, that just the brain just chooses not to register it, not to remember it, not to bring it to your conscious memory. So that could be the case, and that has been the case to many people, actually, that I've worked with. And it has been incredible to see people choosing to remember, because it is important to remember, because it's like your body remembers something, but your mind does not. And then when we start to remember, and it doesn't matter that you remember everything in detail, but at least somehow, yeah, if someone can share with you, if someone knows something that happened, perhaps asking questions of people around you, of adults who were there around you in that age, and then some, like those pieces of the puzzle can come together, and it's really relieving. It's really, wow, it feels really good. Or there can be just like, you know, memory that nobody can confirm, but you know it, and it feels good to know that some trauma, some abuse happened there, and this just can really liberate a lot, because otherwise it's like, wow, why am I reacting like this? Why there's so much shame? Why there is so much pain, so much discomfort? Nothing happened to me. How can it be like this? And then just like coming, finding this peace and trusting yourself that you remember correctly, it can liberate a lot of energy. Another thing that can happen is that you may, or this person that you're speaking about, remember that something like this happened to your mother or your grandmother or someone in your lineage. So there is such thing as epigenetics, and it's a real thing. And the thing is that we pass on unhealed trauma to the future generation. And the one who can heal it, heals it for everybody. So you can choose to be that person where the trauma stops. And then if you heal it, then you're going to stop this cycle of passing it on. Okay, so let's take the last question for today. Question is from Gracie. I wanted to ask if it's normal to have a lot of shadow energy come up after self-pleasuring and having an orgasm, because I experienced this today and the energy was so heavy. It just left me crying it out. I assume this is a part of purging process and the healing. Yeah, absolutely. This is quite common, I have to say, that when a lot of sexual energy gets activated, then what can happen is this downward flow, energetic downward flow can happen. And when there is stuff that needs to be purged somewhere in, around your lower chakras specifically, something around shame, around guilt, around anger maybe, around fear. So this can activate this purging process. Now, something can be done in order to not experience this intense kind of hangover, like sexual hangover symptoms, is first of all by creating a really clear context for your sessions, be it sexual session or self-pleasure session. You start by creating a context. Yeah, you decide what is it you want to dedicate your session to. And this will already create a lot of protection, a lot of energetic protection around you. And then another thing is when you learn to work with energy, then it's also really important to focus not only on the downward flow of energy, but also on the upward flow. And that will harmonize a lot of things. So this is quite a deep teaching right here. So I'm just pointing this to you very lightly. And what practically you can do for that is to refrain from explosive orgasms. So the orgasm that really makes you feel like, bah, like a release. So this is an explosive orgasm and it brings the energy down. So instead of that, you can take your orgasm up. You can take your orgasm up to your breasts, up along your central channel of your body, up to your head, up through your whole body, activating your whole vibrant body, your whole energetic body. So this is something that will help harmonize things big time. Okay, so with this, we will complete this session for today. I loved your questions. Thank you so much for sending them over and for sometimes being patient, because I cannot address all the questions, but I do take quite a few, as you heard. So I remind you that the Ask Sophia sessions take place once a month. So welcome to send over your questions to info@sophiasundari.com and with the subject Ask Sophia. And for sure, these questions will be added to my list of questions for future episodes. So thank you so much for being here. If you loved this episode, please go ahead and share it with your friends, share it on your social media. Let's spread this wisdom, let's spread this knowledge, let's normalize these conversations. Thank you so much.